the EEG signal and how it is measured are covered in depth in Neurofeedback Tutor. However, many practitioners struggle to understand these concepts simply for day-to-day use when working with clients. This is made even more confusing by the numerous terms used to describe the various components of this complex signal. I wrote this post to clear up confusion about these concepts and give you a basic format for thinking about the EEG signal. Understanding EEG feedback and alpha activity. Remember that the EEG on the scalp results from activity that has already occurred within the brain. Training scalp EEG rewards the brain for making internal changes that result in changes in that scalp EEG that can be recorded and fed back to the client during training. Raising your alpha amplitude doesn't necessarily make you more relaxed. Becoming more relaxed may increase alpha activity. That is, increased alpha may be a physiological correlate of relaxing, not a direct cause, where feedback about the alpha increase serves as a reinforcer of a multifaceted relaxation experience so that as relaxation increases, so does the alpha activity. Fundamentals of EEG frequency and amplitude. We talk about EEG mostly in terms of frequency and amplitude. The term frequency means how often the wave occurs within 1 second, the number of waves per second. This value is sometimes called cycles per second but is more commonly known as hertz or hertz. The image below shows an EEG signal waving at 10 hertz. Note that the scale on the left of the image shows a range from minus 20 to plus 20 microvolts, UV, with zero in the middle. The vertical lines in the graph below represent 1 second sections. Zero crossing method for frequency determination. If you count the number of times the wave crosses the zero line within the 1 second section marked with the arrows and divide by 2, you will have the frequency of the wave, which is 10 Hz. This is known as the zero crossing method. To find the frequency, you can also count the number of peaks above the zero line within the same 1 second period. Filtered versus raw EEG signals. However, this is a filtered EEG signal, meaning only the EEG activity between 8 and 12 waves per second is displayed. This makes it easier to see and understand the 8 to 12 Hz alpha signal, but it doesn't show the true complexity of the EEG signal. Below is the raw EEG signal from the same recording at the same location. The scale is now minus 40 to plus 40 UV rather than the previous minus 20 to plus 20, so the whole signal will fit within the graph. Challenges in visualizing raw EEG. You'll see that the nicely sinusoidal, sine wave-like, alpha signal is more difficult to appreciate clearly amid all the other EEG components or frequencies that occur simultaneously. This is one reason for various methods used to separate the different frequencies from each other so they can be viewed individually. Also, note that the EEG signal constantly varies from positive to negative values. Traditionally, negative is plotted up, but systems differ, and in this display, positive is up, and negative is down. It's always important to examine details like the scale used for the vertical y-axis and the horizontal x-axis. Comparing EEG representations, raw signal and FFT. The following two views show the same EEG information. The first image shows raw, 1 to 45 Hz, EEG as an undifferentiated line graph with voltage, amplitude, in the left side scale, y-axis, and time along the bottom, x-axis. The second image shows a graphic display of the results of a fast Fourier transformation, FFT. This converts the raw EEG into a frequency and magnitude, amplitude over time. In this example, 2 seconds of data are represented. Magnitude is shown by the y-axis for each individual frequency along the x-axis. Collections of single frequencies that make up bands of delta, 1 to 4 Hz, theta, 4 to 8 Hz, alpha, 8 to 12 Hz, SMR, 12 to 15 Hz, also known as beta 1, and low, 15 to 22 Hz, beta 2, middle, 22 to 36 Hz, beta 3, and high beta, 36 to 45 Hz, also called beta 4 or gamma, are identified via individual colors. These frequency band designations may vary slightly among systems. As you can see, the FFT display separates the frequency and amplitude information in such a way that makes it easier to see at a glance how much activity occurs in each EEG frequency band, the peak frequency, the highest voltage within a given band, such as 10 Hz in the alpha band above, and, in this display, the mean, median and dominant frequency are also displayed as text in the upper left corner. EEG artifacts, eye movement and muscle activity. However, this clarity comes at the expense of vital information. How much of the activity represented is the result of artifact, like eye movement and muscle activity, EMG? Once the data is processed, it is impossible to know this information, and, in this example, there is a significant eye artifact, though not much EMG. This eye artifact elevates the low frequency voltage because eye movement and blinking produce electrical discharges in delta and low theta frequencies. These are not coming from the brain as EEG but are simply within the same frequencies and are plotted into the EEG graph. Time resolution and data averaging in FFT analysis. Additionally, the display shows the result of calculating 2 seconds of EEG data. It is a composite of that 2 seconds of information and therefore loses the moment-by-moment information of the raw display. The minimum window of time required for an FFT calculation is 1 second. However, it can also utilize multiple minutes of data to represent average activity over a longer time. This latter ability is useful for creating normative databases and topographic maps. To summarize, frequency means how frequently the wave occurs within 1 second, and amplitude means the amount of electrical activity within that frequency band during that period. Categorical versus quantitative EEG descriptors. As shown in the FFT graph, we can also see individual 0.5 Hz segments of the EEG or smaller, depending on software and hardware configurations. More commonly, we look at 1 Hz frequency bins or segments. This can provide useful information, particularly for identifying interesting features such as Mu rhythm, which are often isolated by location and frequency bin. Inconsistencies in frequency band labels. Terminology regarding frequency and amplitude can also be confusing. The EEG is often described using terms like fast, slow, high, low, voltage, power, relative power, percent power, amplitude, and more. The importance of precision in EEG reporting. For example, the beta frequencies between 24 to 36 Hz may be called high, fast, or beta 3. Frequencies between 25 and 45 Hz may be called gamma or beta 4. High beta may also have a high or low amplitude, so high beta, or low high beta. Alpha may be described as low, slow, high, or fast and may also be high amplitude or low amplitude, so high alpha, low high alpha, low alpha, high low alpha, and so on. Frequencies may also be further separated into smaller parts, such as alpha 1 and alpha 2, beta 1, 2, 3, 4, etc. The role of frequency-amplitude relations in protocol design. When the practitioner is simply trying to read an assessment report to determine a training protocol for a client, the lack of precision when using categorical terminology, e.g., alpha, instead of a quantitative descriptor can be problematic. Avoiding ambiguity in EEG language use. A better approach is to identify the EEG by the frequency being discussed, such as 8 to 10 Hz, instead of alpha 1, 24 to 36 Hz, instead of beta 3, and 36 to 44 Hz, instead of beta 4 or gamma. The sharp-eyed reader may notice that I have occasionally used different frequency designations for the various labeled frequencies, particularly in the beta band, because that reflects the inconsistencies in labeling that have existed in electroencephalography from the beginning. All the more reason to say 13 to 21 Hz or 4 to 8 Hz or 2 to 6 Hz so everyone knows what you mean. Understanding power and power spectrum in EEG. Also, using the terms high, fast, low, slow, more, less, greater, decreased, etc., constitutes potentially confusing descriptions. Occasionally, a research paper will describe an increase in activity in the frontal EEG. Does this mean an increase in 8 to 12 Hz, 15 to 18 Hz, and 4 to 8 Hz? If it describes a general increase in voltage, the lack of precise amplitude and frequency information reduces the useful information in the statement to almost zero. Magnitude versus power spectrum, visual differences. Precise language is important. A description could state, an increase in 4 to 8 Hz amplitude from 4 UV to 6 UV was noted in the prefrontal cortex during an active memory recall task. Considering the association that abnormally high amplitude in that frequency band, conventionally theta, has with reduced cognitive performance when seen in the prefrontal cortex, this useful information could suggest that the person shows a decrease in engagement during such a task or that the prefrontal cortex is exerting less than normal cognitive control during the specific task, or some other conclusion. However, combined with behavioral information such as the degree of success in the task and information from other testing, these EEG data can help identify the specific location of activity that correlates with a behavioral concern and can lead to a training protocol. If an increase in amplitude in the 4 to 8 Hz frequency band over the prefrontal cortex is associated with lower scores on the memory task, then training to decrease prefrontal 4 to 8 Hz over the prefrontal cortex could improve memory. Effects of squaring on EEG differentiation. Specific language can clarify what is being presented instead of slow, fast, high, low, etc. Of course, such shorthand has evolved to make our lives easier. Someone might say that alpha is really high, but does this mean high amplitude, high frequency alpha, or high peak alpha frequency? Language usage is a dynamic function. The best we can do when dealing with ambiguity is to ask for clarification if possible. However, it is important to use precise terminology when writing for publication and clinical reports. Relative power, concept and calculation. The terms power and relative power, percent power, and normalized EEG require explanation. Power means amplitude squared. For example, for UV2 equals 16 picowatts, PW. Though it is a different value, it still represents the amount of electrical activity in the EEG. Some reasons for squaring the EEG include converting the negative component of the waveform into positive values. This allows for complex calculations. Because the EEG constantly fluctuates between positive and negative values above and below the zero line on an EEG graph, an average calculation over time will result in numbers around zero. Once amplitude is squared, it becomes a positive number so that averages, maximum and minimum, standard deviations, and other calculations can be made. Historical rationale for normalized EEG use. Another reason for squaring the EEG amplitude is to create greater differentiation between frequency bands. The image below shows two FFT displays. The top image shows the magnitude spectrum, which shows amplitude over time, corrected for sine, so that all data are presented as positive values. The lower image shows the power spectrum, displaying amplitude squared values, again in all positive values. Note the Y-scale values are significantly different, with the top graph showing 0 to 12 UV and the bottom graph showing 0 to 96 PW. Limitations of relative power measures. Note also that the various frequency bands show different comparative values. This is the effect of squaring a value. For example, 4 times 4 is equal to 16, while 2 times 2 is equal to 4, so the difference between the two values appears greater, 16 compared to 4 rather than 4 compared to 2. So, visually, the graph makes it easier to see which frequency is greater. This can be useful, particularly when calculating ratios. A theta/beta, 4 to 8 Hz/13-21 Hz, ratio of 4 halves is less distinctive than 16 fourths. Topographic mapping of EEG power. Power values are also used when calculating normative values in a database to show z-scores or deviations from mean values and standard deviations, SD. The other power value often used in EEG is called by various names, including relative power, percent power, and normalized EEG. These terms all refer to the same measurement. We will use the common term relative power here. Relative power refers to a calculation that converts the actual power, known as absolute power values, into percentages representing the power of each EEG frequency band compared to the power of the entire EEG band. The results are presented as percentages. See the example below. If the entire EEG band, 1 to 45 Hz in this example, has a power value of 108 to 12 Hz has a power value of 25, then the 8 to 12 Hz percentage is 25% of the total EEG power. This method was used in the early days of EEG analysis because the amplifiers at the time gave widely varying voltage values for the EEG, even when recording the same individual. Hence, the term normalized EEG is used because, following this transformation into percentages, results from any EEG recording could, in theory, be equivalently compared to any other. This measure continues to be used extensively, even in recently published research studies. However, there are a few problems with this method. The first issue occurs when there is a very high amplitude frequency band in the EEG. This band then takes up a disproportionately larger percentage of the EEG pie, leaving the other frequencies representing lower than expected percentages that are misleading. This is especially problematic when comparing relative power values with topographic Z-score maps from a normative database. The example below shows the absolute power topographic maps as colored representations of the power of each 1 Hz bin. The color scale below each bin represents that specific bin's minimum to maximum values, with the highest values in red and the lowest in blue. These do not represent Z-scores or standard deviations but simply absolute power. Note that the amounts at 1 and 2 Hz are significantly higher than any other frequency bin, 18 and 19, respectively. The following graphic shows the relative power maps with similar individual scales for each map, but showing percentages rather than absolute power. 1 and 2 Hz show percentages of 22.9% and 20.7%, respectively. Significantly greater than any other frequency and together taking up 43.6% of the frequency pie. The next maps show absolute power Z-score values. This time the scale is constant for all bins, showing -3 SD, blue, to +3 SD, red, indicating substantial deviations up to 3 SD from 1 to 5 Hz, with varying distributions across the scalp. Note that there are no blue areas showing deficient activity in any frequency bin. The next map shows the relative power Z-scores indicating most of the deviation, up to 3 SD, to be focused in the 1 Hz map, while maps from 6 to 16 Hz show varying degrees and distributions of negative values up to -3 SD. At a glance, without any other information, a practitioner might believe this client has too little 6 to 16 Hz activity in various locations and may set about training to increase these values. However, is this really true? In an absolute sense, there are no deficits, only in relation to the excessive values at 1 and 2 Hz. If that excess activity were reduced, the other values may become more typical. This can be even more problematic when the excesses are in the higher beta frequencies such as 22 to 36 Hz. In this case, the lower frequencies in the 1 to 6 Hz range may appear deficient, and the practitioner may decide to train to increase 1 to 6 Hz. This can cause serious negative effects and is generally not recommended. Conclusion. All of the previous information leads us to be careful with our assumptions, precise with our language, and cautious in our approaches to our clients' training. One of the most important things to remember in the analysis of the EEG, whether visually or quantitatively, is that it is a process that becomes more accurate as we develop our skills and refine our understanding of this elegant and information-rich measure.